Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, the podcast for Peanuts and Charles Schulz book fans that is listened to by more Americans than, well, than Lithuanians, I'd have to guess, really. It seems obvious. I'm your host, the one and only Og Blogger, Nat Gertler, better known as TV's Ben Franklin. Well, not really better known as that. I did play Ben Franklin on a sitcom for two episodes about 20 years ago, but it's not even mentioned on my Wikipedia page. But I do have a Wikipedia page. That's right. I am Wikipedia famous, and you cannot believe how many groupies and endorsement offers that gets you. As for today's show, well, right off the bat, let me make one thing clear. I am a believer in intellectual property. That's things that, like copyright, patents, trademarks, the legal concept that you can own something that is not physical and have the legal right to prevent other people from using it. I actually find intellectual property more legitimate than physical property because all physical property ownership derives from land ownership and land ownership. I mean, it's not like anyone's making land, so it's theirs. Land ownership is grounded in someone either simply proclaiming that they own the land, which is presumptuous, or a king granting someone land, or someone taking land from someone by force. Presumptuousness, royal decree, and war. Three things that I'm against. But I like intellectual property because, for the most part, owning intellectual property is grounded in your right to what you made up with your own head. I even did a whole comic book series about intellectual property, Licensable Bear, TM. You can order the complete collection on Amazon. Not only can you, you should. And I live my life respecting intellectual property. I'm not one of those who is downloading Game of Thrones from a pirate site. I get my MP3s by buying MP3s or by ripping albums I've already paid for. You hear those little stings of jazz at the beginning and the end of the podcast? They may sound a little like Peanuts, but actually, it's the tune Watercolors by John Delly and the 41 Players, a tune that is available for free use without payment. I probably could use some actual Vince Guaraldi Peanuts music and get away with it, but I take those rights seriously. I try to make sure that the podcast and on the blog, I stick to using bits of copyrighted sounds and images that I'm comfortable would pass the legal definition of fair use. While I was writing the above, my daughter was on the computer, searching for a good case for the iPhone she'd just gotten for her 13th birthday. She wanted one with images from her favorite show, Steven Universe, and there were plenty available, but she wanted one that was properly licensed, not some knockoff. I've raised her well. It drives me nuts how much of my Facebook feed is filled with ads for unlicensed Peanuts t-shirts. And if you see Peanuts t-shirts advertised on Facebook, they are unlicensed. I have never seen a licensed one available. Now, my old day job in the computer business, they once made a t-shirt with some Simpsons characters on it, celebrating our company. Just a little treat for, you know, hardworking engineers and other folks at the company. But as proud as I generally was of my employer, and as much as I liked The Simpsons, I could never bring myself to wear the shirt. So instead, I took it to the San Diego Comic-Con one year, found Simpsons creator Matt Groening, and gave it to him. He has a collection of knockoff Simpsons t-shirts. But there is one realm in which I cast concerns about proper licensing to the wind. I do indeed purchase unlicensed Peanuts books, and I justify it because I'm not buying them to replace a licensed Peanuts book, but I'm buying them as part of my effort to see how Peanuts is being used across the world and across cultures. I justify it because I'm not getting the book for myself, I'm getting it for the Og.com reference library, which, as flippant as that may sound, and as sadly unorganized as it may be, I also take somewhat seriously. That library has been used to answer questions for many people, for news organizations, even to answer questions for the Charles Schulz Museum's Research Center. It has provided source material for a number of books, with more to come. It's not just a collection, it's a resource. But with my fully honest face on, I admit that I do buy unlicensed books because they are strange and unlikely things. They are beautiful in their oddity. I fall for bootlegged weirdness. Okay, bootleg isn't always the proper term. It suggests something illegal. Some of these unlicensed books were actually published legally. Well, how so? Well, some of my favorite books in the category are a series called Fistoski, which is Polish for peanuts. Okay, I'm probably mispronouncing it. I'm almost certainly mispronouncing it. And there is a Fitsotsky series currently running, the Polish edition of The Complete Peanuts. But that's not the series I'm discussing. That one's licensed. It has to be, because Poland has signed on to the Berne Convention, the international treaty that requires nations to respect the copyrights each others have granted. But that wasn't always the way. Poland didn't sign to the convention until 1990, decades after the treaty was in place. That's because when the treaty was first passed, within the lifetimes and memories of many, but I hope not all, of my listeners, Poland was part of the Soviet Union. That's right, they were the other side of the Iron Curtain. Not merely pinko, but full-out, manifestly commie. And as such, they had no respect for America, our values, our flag, our laws, and our copyright. It was, in Poland, perfectly legal to publish Peanuts material without the permission of Charles Schulz, United Feature Syndicate, or Major League Baseball. But permission is not the only thing that a licensor provides in a normal translation instance. They also provide copies of the source material. In these days, they provide computer files, but back in the 1980s, they'd provide stats, very clean copies of the art that could be used for reproduction. They obviously had some type of copies of the strip, but probably not the ideal thing for reproduction, particularly in the days before you could just load the image into Photoshop and sharpen it up. So what did they do to get Peanuts strips they could reproduce? They traced them. That's right. These three books are made up of about 100 traced peanut strips, and not even masterfully traced. The smooth lines are wobbly, the characters melt somewhat. When they had to rise to the occasion, they did, such as replacing the giant word truth that Snoopy is laying atop in an opening Sunday panel with the same word in Polish, or placing a baseball on a TV screen with a more culturally appropriate soccer ball. Now, I'm of mixed mind about these books. On one hand, it's sad to see that people got redrawn Peanuts because it was what they could reasonably produce. On the other hand, it says something that they were willing to do what it took to get some form of Peanuts to the people, as watered down as it may have been. Certainly, this is not a sort of book that I would encourage anyone to produce. But it's a cool artifact to have, and it's the sort of thing that we're not likely to see again, even if there was a place where it was financially worthwhile to produce black market Peanuts books. It would be far easier to scoop some digital source material from somewhere than to trace the whole thing. To someone who knows what Peanuts is, this is like buying a bootleg DVD of Blade Runner 2049 and discovering that rather than someone holding a video cam up to the movie screen, it's the whole film reenacted from memory by a group of high school sophomores. This isn't the only example of recreated Schulz in my collection. I've got a, I think it's Korean, I'm not certain, a comics magazine that has just one peanut strip in it. That's a poor recreation of a strip where Snoopy steals Linus's grapes. It clearly wasn't done to prop up sales for the magazine, those four panels in the back. Obviously some just liked the gag and thought it was worth making his own. Now, not all such unlicensed work is of foreign origin. Take, for example, the little paperback with a big name that was made in the wake of books about how you can find religious lessons or life instruction in the pages of a Peanuts book. We get The Effective Executive, According to Peanuts. The book has no copyright notice, nor any properly placed credit for Charles Schulz, although he is mentioned in the foreword, which they've misspelled as F-O-R-E-W-A-R-D. That's a cross between the word forward as in ahead and foreword as in what comes at the front of a book, a little text introduction. It also has no publisher or price list. It appears to have been privately published and distributed by its listed author, B. Tom Green. My copy even has his business card taped inside. And the foreword suggests that it is merely for his friends and acquaintances. Each two-page spread bears some brief saying about how a manager should act, with an example in the strip of that attitude being either followed or generally ignored. The strip reproductions are clearly taken from published Peanuts books. Some of them have the extended version of the panels or the panel overlaps that were done for the Fawcett Crest editions. The reproduction is spotty, with Schultz's smooth line showing up looking irregular. By the choice of the title, which clearly echoes The Gospel According to Peanuts, and the strips, the newest of which appear to be from the mid-1960s at the latest, suggests that this book was put together in the 1960s or not long after. Now, I wonder if Green ever tried to find a commercial publisher who would be interested in this book. It's certainly not deep, but I could see it selling as an amusing little gift for executives. Now, not all unlicensed Peanuts books are great and cool. Some are just objects of greed. These days, if you look carefully at Amazon, you can find Peanuts coloring books being offered as print-on-demand books. Now, these aren't some great production. Folks find individual Peanuts coloring pages online on various sites, combine them into a PDF, paste together some sort of a cover image, and upload them. There's no financial investment, and they stay on Amazon, potentially generating money, until the folks from Peanuts Worldwide contact Amazon and have them taken down. In the example I have, the pages are distorted, out of ratio. And here's the thing. They cost more than a proper, longer, better-looking Peanuts coloring book you get at your local discount store. The only problem with those is that they're so cheap, Amazon doesn't carry them. So if Grandpa in Montana wants to get Little Betsy in Dubuque a Peanuts coloring book, these knockoffs are the easiest way to get the job done, having the book shipped right to her. But that's not to say that an unlicensed coloring book cannot bring me its thrills. Because, well, years ago, I lost an auction for a Peanuts coloring book in Arabic. That haunted me for a long time. I really love having books from as many different languages as possible in my collection. But then Karen Pilgrim, who runs a website called collectpeanuts.com, where she sells various peanut stuff, that's worth checking out for those hunting for peanuts items, hooked me up with not one, not two, not four, but three apparently unlicensed Peanuts coloring books in Arabic. And opening those up, I quickly became very happy indeed. The first one that opened up had, beneath its Arabic title, a picture of the Easter Beagle distributing eggs to Woodstock, who was outfitted as a jack-in-the-box. This is on some level simply astounding. Well, the Easter egg tradition was actually started in what we now think of as the Arab world. The Christians of Mesopotamia paid tribute to the blood of Jesus by dyeing eggs red. It went on to thrive in various parts of the world, which is more than can be said for Christianity among Arab speakers. Well, there are definitely Christians in Arab lands. They are very much in the minority and are, in some parts, subject to strong legal and social penalties. In Saudi Arabia, for example, the state officially considers all citizens to be Muslim, and public Christian worship is banned. Most of the Christians in Saudi Arabia aren't actually Arabs, but Roman Catholic Filipinos who are there for work and aren't citizens. So to have a symbol of Christian celebration there on the opening page, it made me wonder whether whoever put it there knew what they were doing and was getting away with something, or didn't even recognize the easternness of egg distribution. And this book is not just filled with genuine Schultz copied from somewhere else. Many of the pages are clearly original pieces of art, and they're interesting, sometimes because they have rather wild stylistic takes on the Peanuts character, or they have them doing interesting things, like Schroeder driving a Vespa scooter with a smiling Lucy riding on the back. But then I came across my favorite image of all. It's Snoopy, up on the roof of a building, watching someone feed his pigeons. But this someone, it's not just anyone. Not just some random person. It is quite specifically Bert from Sesame Street. You know, of Ernie and Bert, a well-known pigeon enthusiast. Because as long as you're doing an unlicensed book, why not? And that's it for today's Og Blog podcast. A thoroughly unlicensed look at the world of Peanuts books. Be sure to come back next time when I'll be talking about, I really don't know what. I tape these things weeks in advance and out of order. But it'll be good, you betcha. Until then, be sure to stop by the blog. It's at aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. And do send me your comments, questions, and suggestions. I'm well on my way to doing my first mailbag episode. And remember, if I read your comments on the podcast, you get the prize of hearing your comments in my mellifluous voice. Send them to questions@aug.com. And in the meantime, may the line drives of life not knock your shorts off. May the black keys on your piano not be just painted on. and may all your griefs be good ones.